Today in review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishopriggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This podcast, date Wednesday the 6th of December 2023, is read to you by Corey, Hunter, Ian and Rebecca. Helping Out Town Centres, report by Fraser N. Wilson. Parking will be free in Eastern Bartonshire Town Centres on the four Saturdays leading up to Christmas, with charges suspended in the council's fee levy in car parks. Those driving to Bearsden, Bishopriggs, Kirkintilloch or Mulgay for festive shopping or to enjoy a bite to eat, then the good news is you won't need to pay to park your sleigh. Councillor Paul Ferretti, convener of the Council's Place, Neighbourhood and Corporate Assets Committee, said, "We will once again be suspending charges in our town centre car parks on the four Saturdays leading up to Christmas Day. If you're out and about, then please support local shops, hospitality venues and service providers if you can." Appropriately, the first day of suspended charges was Small Business Saturday at the weekend. To ensure public safety, EDC's community and parking wardens will still be enforcing parking regulations and restrictions for any vehicles parked inappropriately, on-street and off-street, including blue badge misuse. EDC is also a supporter of the Scotland Loves Local campaign, which includes the Eastern Bartonshire gift card, led by Scotland's Towns Partnership. This is a good way to support businesses in your local community while treating a friend or loved one. For more information, head to scotlandgiftslocal.com/product/EasternBartonshire-gift-card. To register your business to accept the card, go to www.lovelocal.scot/gift card. Read to you today by Ian. This week in history. December the 7th, 1941. The Japanese attacked the US fleet at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. On this day last year, the Queen invited children to decorate the Christmas tree and receive festive surprises at Clarence House. December the 8th, 1980. John Lennon was shot dead in New York by Mark David Chapman. On this day last year, the first three episodes of Harry and Meghan dropped on Netflix. December the 9th, 1960. The first episode of Coronation Street was televised, although it was not networked until spring 1961. It was originally called Forrestal Street. On this day last year, Rishi Sunak announced that Britain would work to develop next-generation fighter jets with Italy and Japan. December the 10th, 1936. Edward VIII signed the Instrument of Abdication. He chose American divorcee Wallace Simpson over his royal duty. On this day last year, England's 2022 World Cup campaign ended with a 2-1 loss against France in Doha. December the 11th, 1967, the prototype of the world's first supersonic airliner, Concorde, was revealed. On this day last year, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak spoke to the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, and said he looked forward to building on the close relationship between the countries. No ABC to help out. NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde has launched a new campaign to make it as easy as possible for people to access care this winter. The campaign is based on three simple suggestions. In fact, they're as easy as ABC. To help people to know where to go if they need help, as well as doing their bit to support the NHS during what is traditionally the busiest time of year. Whether you're feeling unwell and need a bit of advice, or a relative or loved one has hurt themselves, and you're not sure how best to get the right care for them, just remember the following advice and you won't go far wrong. Accessing the right care is as easy as ABC. Ask yourself, do I need to go out? For information on keeping yourself well and treating minor illnesses and injuries from home, go to the NHS Inform or download the NHS 24 app. Be aware, there is help for many conditions right on your doorstep. Your local GP, pharmacy, dentist or optician offer a range of services. Call 111 if it's urgent or you're not sure. Call NHS 24 on 111. They'll make sure you get the help you need. Unless it's an emergency, think ABC before going to A&E. Throughout the coming winter, NHS GGC will share a host of useful information to help people remember the message, healthcare and wellbeing advice, so people can look after themselves from the comfort of their own home, and positive stories of how patients fare after they make the right call about accessing the help they need. Deputy Medical Director Dr. Scott Davidson said, "People don't really think about how to access care until things go wrong, but during winter, as pressures grow in all our services, it's important that we all take a few minutes to make ourselves aware of the best places to get help if we need it. It's easy to think that the directions to the local A&E department is all we need to know, but in the majority of cases, that isn't the best place to be, and, in fact, you might be asked to go elsewhere if you do turn up at A&E unnecessarily. By knowing where to best go, people will be able to access care more simply, while at the same time helping to ease the pressure on our hard-working staff, and that is the aim of our campaign. Get the right care. By following the ABC suggestions, you'll be able to access great care without having to travel far from home or sitting for hours in a busy waiting room. For example, did you know your local pharmacy can offer help with a range of conditions right on your doorstep without having to make an appointment for queuing for hours? Or you can access our virtual A&E from the comfort of your own living room by calling 111? Quick, easy healthcare is available at the touch of a button or a short stroll away, and NHS GGC is encouraging everyone to make the right call this winter. Dr. Davidson added, A&E is still there to help people with life-threatening conditions or the most serious injuries, but by remembering ABC, more people will be able to access the right care whenever they need it.
Social Clubs License allows more community events. A social club in Bishop Briggs will be able to host a wider variety of events as its licence has been updated. Cawdor Freestone Social Club, situated in St Mungo Street, has had its licence updated by the local licensing board, allowing for more community events as well as changes to operating hours. The club's on-sales hours will be increased until 12 midnight Sunday to Thursday and 1 a.m. on Saturday nights. It will also be allowed to act as a theatre venue, which was requested primarily for pantomimes. Children will be able to stay at the club for longer, with their lounge access extended from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. and also permitted to stay until the end of private functions rather than have to leave at 11 p.m. and will also be able to order and collect takeaways from the foyer. Various other forms of entertainment, from live music to race nights, have also been added to the operator's plan, as have events involving other clubs, such as swimming groups, dance classes, and have seasonal events such as Christmas fairs. The venue, which regularly has live music nights, psychic nights and showcases live sport, currently has limited tickets available for the party night on Saturday, December the 23rd. More details can be found on their Facebook page or at website carrefreestone.co.uk. Eastern Bartonshire Licensing Board granted the application after agreeing that unaccompanied children would not be allowed on the premises after 10 p.m. Read by Rebecca. Church plans are unveiled. A former church building in Twecher could be used as a storage and distribution depot if planning application is successful. Twecher Church on the village's main street ceased operating as a church in September 2022. Now Workwear and PPE Supplies Limited has applied to Eastern Bartonshire Council proposing a new use for the building. Airdrie-based Workwear and PPE Supplies Limited are looking to move out of its current premises and proposing the takeover of the building, which is currently vacant and not listed on conservation records. In a supportive statement, Workwear and PPE Supplies Limited claim the operations are clean and would not create noise issues for the vicinity. The applicant adds that it had been searching for a new base capable of supporting its expansion for a long time and is keen to relocate as it has been searching for a location for more than 8 years. If permitted to go ahead with the move, the premises would not be open to the public and have no shop or trade counter, and there would be around 5 or 6 van deliveries per day. The property is estimated to date back from the early 1900s and is currently for sale for the Church of Scotland, advertised at £219,995. As of November the 10th, on the Church of Scotland's website, the building is said to be under offer. Set within the town of Twecher itself, the Church of Scotland described the building as offering excellent development potential. On its sales brochure, it is described as the property is not listed and could be used without the necessity of obtaining change of use consent as a creche, day nursery, day centre, educational establishment, museum, arts gallery or public library. It also has the potential for a variety of other uses such as a theatre, cinema or entertainment venue, hospitality and restaurant, retail space or community resource subject to obtaining appropriate consents. The council has been asked to allow this change of use and the decision will be made by its planning committee at a future session. Find out more about the proposal at easternbarton.gov.uk.
Nice to be out and about. Walk, run, cycle Eastern Bartonshire members enjoyed a child-friendly spooky walk on a Christine's Way recently. Rather than let the dark night stop them from getting out on adventures, members have embraced the winter and autumnal conditions. Donning head torches and wrapping up, they have visited Mugdock Park, Palashrig and Dunbrake Marsh, to name a few, on their weekly evening walks. Strength and balance sessions in partnership with Pass for All are now being held every Tuesday in Bishopbriggs Woodhill Church at 1:30 p.m. This is a good form of gentle exercise, followed by a sociable cuppa afterwards. Meanwhile, WRCED are very proud to be involved with Elena Harris and Eastern Bartonshire with the Remembering Together Community COVID Memorials, which will see 12 harbours constructed in different towns across the area, with each including signage explaining the project. A specially devised QR code will link a sound piece of stories from people's pandemic experiences and music from local musicians. It will also include a map that can lead people on a short walk around the area. Elsewhere, the C25K running team have been amazing, completing their 5K challenge with a graduating run at Park Run on November 25th. A new C25K will be set up in the new year. Weekend adventures have included jaunts to St. Fillian's Viewpoint calendar, Primrose Hill, Bannockburn, and a group of 20 kicking off the Rob Roy Way from Drimmen to Pitlochry. This is a 79-mile trail, with each section completed each month. Calendars can be bought by contacting the email address or picked up at Create ED on Kirkintilloch Main Street for £8 each, with all profits going back into the group. The Santa Dash in aid of Eastern Bartonshire Food Bank takes place on December the 9th from Kirkintilloch Marina at 10:30 a.m. and you can choose to dash or saunter along Christine's Way in Lindsay towards Boghead Wood, where Santa will hand out a sweet treat for the attendees. More via the group's Facebook page or email wrced2020@gmail.com.
Pavement Parking Campaign as recorded by Hunter MacDonald. A public information campaign is getting underway to make people aware that they could soon be fined for parking on the pavement. The Transport Scotland Act 2019 bans pavement parking, double parking and parking at drop kerbs with certain exemptions designated by local authorities, for example to ensure safe access for emergency vehicles. From 11th of December 2023, local authorities can begin enforcing the law. This means drivers could be fined £100 for these parking behaviours, reduced to £50 if paid within 14 days. The new campaign includes radio, outdoor and social media advertising, highlighting the dangers pavement parking poses to pavement users, forcing them to take unnecessary risks by moving around the car and onto the road. Transport Minister Fiona Hislop said, "The message is clear. Pavement parking is unsafe, unfair and illegal, and you could be fined up to £100 for it." More at roadsafety.scot.
Police urge victims to report sextortion. Police Scotland is urging anyone targeted by sextortion to report it so they can get the support they deserve. Sextortion is sexual extortion and involves the threat of having sexual information, photos or videos shared with others. It is carried out to extort money or force a victim to do something against their will, control behaviour, or obtain further images. Figures published on Friday in Police Scotland's 2023-24 Quarter 2 Performance Report show an increase in reported crimes of threats and extortion compared to last year and since changes in crime recording introduced in April 2020. Between April and September 2023, there were 1,430 crimes of threats and extortion, compared to 819 in the same period last year, 74%, and a five-year mean of 443 or 223%. Analysis shows much of this relates to sextortion cell crimes. Commenting on the figures, Assistant Chief Constable David Duncan said, "Sextortion is blackmail, and those targeted should not pay, nor they should be embarrassed or scared to report it to the police. We are experiencing an increase in the number of sextortion incidents being reported, and, although we are encouraged that victims appear more confident in coming forward, we know from our partners that this is still likely to be an underreported offence. Criminals use the internet, social media, dating apps, webcams or pornography websites and fake identities to befriend people online and then threaten to send images to their family and friends. People shouldn't panic. There is support available from policing and from third-party organisations. We want people to know they will be treated with respect and dignity and the circumstances investigated professionally. There is information available on the Police Scotland website on ways you can stay safe online, such as not sharing intimate images. Sextortion can be committed by individuals, however, organised crime gangs based overseas are also believed to be responsible. For more info, head to scotland.police.uk/advice-and-information/internet-safety/sextortion. Report is discussed. Police Scotland's 2023-24 quarter two performance report will be discussed at the Scottish Police Authority Policing Performance Committee today, Wednesday, December the 6th. The report and discussion will highlight the inclusion of threats and extortion, such as online sextortion, which contributed to a rise in overall violent crime reported between April and September 2023. It also shows homicides, attempted murders and serious assaults remain at similar levels compared to last year and lower than the 5-year average, while Scotland's world-leading detection rate for homicides continues. The report provides insight into the depth and breadth of police work undertaken by committed and professional officers and staff, and how the outcome of that work relates to our strategic outcomes.
Swimming qualifying. A group of 100 young swimmers were up against the clock when they took part in time trials for the Scottish Schools Swimming Championships at the Leisure Dome in Bishop Briggs earlier this month. The annual event is organised by Eastern Bartonshire Leisure and Culture Trust Swimming Development Team and attracts young people from schools across Eastern Bartonshire. This year, 100 swimmers entered a competition with 22 competitors making the qualifying time for the championship, which will take place at Dolan Acha Centre on January the 26th. EDLC Chairman Councillor Jim Gibbons of EDLC said, "The young people who take part in the swimming time trials work extremely hard throughout the year to compete for a place in the annual championships. It isn't easy, and I'd like to commend them for their commitment and dedication. I should also mention the contribution made by the swimmers' families and coaches who support the young people year-round to enable them to reach their full potential. Many congratulations to the competitors who made the qualifying time for the Scottish School Swimming Championships in January. I wish them the very best of luck." Meanwhile, hockey players as young as 5 have been left without changing facilities after clubs were locked out of the game's national stadium. The sports governing body said Glasgow Life had closed their Hampden after restricting access to the Glasgow National Hockey Centre with the arm's length council body in turn blaming funding issues. But Scottish Hockey and the authority was tarnishing its Commonwealth Games legacy by limiting use of the venue. Players have since been forced to get ready for action at a football centre 100 yards away from the Glasgow Green facility. The £5 million arena was opened for the 2014 Games and was intended to be used as a hub for the national set-up thereafter. However, it became a COVID testing site during the pandemic and only the outdoor pitches have been reopened.
Cops issue vehicle warning. Police are reminding motorists to be vigilant after 2 vehicles were stolen whilst defrosting in neighbouring Bear's Den. Around 7:20 a.m. on November the 28th, a Honda HR-V was stolen from Montrose Drive, and on November the 30th, an Audi Q5 was stolen from Ravelston Road around 7:30 a.m. Inspector Alan Ferris said, "Investigations are underway to trace both vehicles. The owners of vehicles had left them unattended with the engine running to defrost windscreens and windows. With temperatures low, I'd urge motorists not to leave their vehicles unattended. A thief only takes a few seconds to strike. You should consider covering your windscreens at night using a manual scraper or de-icing product. Officers have been patrolling early morning in the area and have noticed several vehicles left to defrost with engines running and the keys in the ignition. This is entirely preventable and can be eliminated by simply not leaving your vehicle unattended whilst defrosting."
Lowest paid, deal with our most challenging kids. Report by Julie Curry. New Scottish Government research shows that the biggest impact of pupils' behaviour challenges falls on school support staff. According to Unison, these members of staff are also the lowest paid and receive the least training and support. The government's Behaviour in Scottish Schools Research Report 2023 shows that 86% of support staff encounter low-level disruptive behaviour every day, with 66% experiencing verbal abuse and 59% experiencing physical aggression on a regular basis. It mirrors what Unison members working in schools have been telling the union, that the lowest paid, mostly women support staff, are the ones who are expected to deal with pupils with the most challenging behaviour. The government report is based on surveys and interviews with head teachers, teachers and focus groups with classroom-based support staff. The report confirms that the incidence of serious disruptive behaviours has increased since the last report in 2016. There has also been notable increase in primary school support staff saying they are negatively impacted by verbal abuse, physical aggression and violence towards themselves and other staff. Unison said support staff were more likely than teachers to report that serious disruptive behaviours have the greatest negative impact on them. Lorraine Thompson, Unison Scotland Chair of the Education Issues Group, said, "No one should have to face violence and abusive behaviour at their work, and if they do, they need to be properly supported to deal with it. Yet, in our schools in Scotland, it is the lowest paid, mostly women support staff who deal with challenging and disruptive behaviour every day." Kay Sellers, Unison Scotland Regional Manager, added, "We have consistently raised violence and abuse of school support staff with employers and government. Most support staff experience difficult behaviour every day. It is not acceptable. Now that we have the evidence to back up what we know is a growing problem, we need to see government funding in action to help schools deal with it."
Black Pudding Day. From peasant food to superfood, now a Scottish favourite is about to be celebrated in the first ever National Black Pudding Day. Scottish Craft Butchers has earmarked March the 18th, 2024, for nationwide acknowledgement of the blood sausage, whose origins date back to the height of the Roman Empire in ancient Greece. The decision to celebrate black pudding with its own national day follows a call for the foodstuff to be awarded similar acclaim as its famous Scottish cousin, the haggis. Scottish Craft Butchers President George Jarron said, "Scottish Craft Butchers play a huge part in the supply of black pudding to the nation, so it's fitting that we should spearhead the first ever National Black Pudding Day. It will provide a springboard for people across the country to celebrate the Scottish version of an international favourite."
Family announcements. In memoriam. Kettings, Helen. In loving memory of Helen, died December 8th, 2003. Sadly missed, Andy and family.
Pupils are encouraged to take up vaccines offer. Public Health Scotland is encouraging young people to take up the offer of routine vaccines at school, as the latest statistics show a decline in vaccine uptake rates. In Scotland, a number of vaccines are offered to young people in secondary school to provide them with a long-term protection against serious diseases. It's therefore important young people take up the offer of these vaccines that are routinely offered in school. The DTP vaccine protects against diphtheria, tetanus and polio, and the MenACYWY protects against meningitis and septicemia, blood poisoning. Both are offered to pupils in S3 at around 14 years of age to complete the childhood vaccination course. The most recent data also shows that boys were less likely to receive the DTP and MenACYWY vaccines than girls. This is also true for the school-based human papillomavirus, HPV, immunisation programme, which helps to protect young people from HPV-related cancers later in life. This includes head, neck and anogenital cancers, with the most common being cervical cancer. HPV is a common virus which usually produces no symptoms and is usually spread through sexual contact. This means that people may not even know they're carrying the virus. All S1 pupils are eligible for the HPV vaccine in Scotland, and getting the vaccine now protects against future risks. The DTP, MenACYWY and HPV vaccines are offered throughout vaccination clinics at school. Consent packs consisting of a letter consent forms, and leaflet are sent home with young people from school. Consent forms will start to be issued as early as the end of November by some health boards, with vaccination taking place between January and March next year. A national campaign, Chat, Sign, Protect, which is focused on encouraging young people to talk to their parents or carers about taking up the offer of these vaccines and signing and returning their forms to school, has also been launched. Dr. Claire Cameron, PHS consultant in health protection, said, "Diseases like diphtheria and tetanus were responsible for a large number of deaths, including children, every year before vaccinations were available. Some of the diseases that our vaccines protect against have almost disappeared from the UK as a result of so many people being vaccinated against them over the years. However, cases of meningitis still occur throughout the year, and young people are at an increased risk due to the contact they have with others, both in and outside of school. We need to maintain high vaccination uptake rates to reduce the risk of infections occurring. Being vaccinated is the best thing you can do to help protect against serious vaccine-preventable diseases. We are encouraging young people to chat to their parents or carers about the free vaccines offered before signing and returning consent forms to school by the deadline. Young people who don't complete their immunisation course in S1 are re-offered the vaccines in future school years to ensure they're protected. For more information, visit www.nhsinform.scot/campaigns/vaccines-for-young-people. Let's talk. Wednesday the 6th of December, letters page. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. Net zero is not more important than us freezing. Sir, with Patrick Harvey unveiling new deadlines for the phase-out of gas boilers, Scotland's energy problems are mounting. Our country can get very cold, as we are experiencing right now. Politicians have a duty first and foremost to look after our welfare. Patrick Harvey seems to not have noticed this. It is his unworkable and highly unpopular, to say nothing of expensive, scheme for heat pumps really the answer? Can he absolutely prove that this is in our interest instead of what we have? At the same time, Hamza Yousaf is against new nuclear power stations in Scotland. What this tells us is that our welfare has been used as a political football instead of being grounded in reality. Given our climate, this really matters. Putting net zero is more important than us freezing is not on. If Mr. Harvey and Mr. Yousaf really want us all to adopt what, on the surface, appear to be totally inadequate alternatives to what we currently possess, then perhaps a national referendum, so beloved of the SNP, upon this subject may actually be worthwhile for a change. Let the people decide. Yours etc., Gerald Edwards, by email. Holyrood soap opera. Sir, so the penny finally drops in the empty head of Patrick Harvey that the date set for ripping out boilers and replacing them with grossly expensive, and in some cases unusable, heat pumps is unachievable. No lesser man than Lord Hawhey of City Refrigeration Holdings, who could make millions out of the sale of them, states they do nothing for the carbon footprint. It still plugs into the grid. It is run by electricity. This is a long line of ridiculous ideas and policies from the utterly incompetent Green/SNP coalition. Gender recognition, in court. Protected marine areas, abandoned. Bottle return scheme, shambolic mess. To name but three. And how much money has been squandered in attempting to put these fiascos into being? How much time frittered away on these pie-in-the-sky policies and the misuse of civil servants' time to promote self-aggrandising nonsense. add in the utter humiliation of the First Minister and his contempt for the Scottish Parliament and his backing of the now totally discredited Health Secretary, and the mess that our devolved Parliament has laid bare for all to see. On a daily basis, it seems like another episode of Just William, with the FM trying to come up with another cunning plan to cling to power, supported by the dog-wagging tail of the Greens, Patrick Harvey trying to rebuild the castle in the nursery sandpit, where Lorna Slater sits in the background shouting, "I'll squeam and squeam," in an attempt to get another of her bird-brained ideas onto the statute. If it wasn't so utterly depressing, it would be a soap opera on primetime television. How lucky we are, indeed. Yours, etc., David Miller, address supplied. All a game, sir. It's time for a little calm and facts to descend on the arguments about the Elgin Marbles. Rishi Sunak is being blamed when the appointment with Kyriakos Mitsotakis was cancelled, but it was the Greek PM who caused the whole embarrassing episode. Admittedly, the BBC's Laura Koonsberg led the discussion in that direction, but Mr. Mitsotakis said they belonged to Greece and were essentially stolen. In fact, one of the reasons that prompted Lord Elgin to obtain the marbles was that he had observed other marble sculptures at the Parthenon being destroyed. The Parthenon was a mess and still was when my wife visited it in 1967. There wasn't even a path to the temple, just a boulder field. The Furman official document giving permission to Elgin stated, should they wish to take away any pieces of stone with old inscriptions and figures, that no opposition be made, and that they make no opposition in taking away any pieces of stone with inscriptions and figures. So, not stolen. Mr. Mitsotakis compares the Elgin Marbles with tearing up the Mona Lisa, with half in London and half in Paris, without apparent irony. Yet that painting comes from Italy, not France, as I am sure he knows. But that's okay, apparently. France also owns its own Greek artefacts, like the Winged Victory of Samothrace, also in the Louvre. Strange, then, surely, that Mr. Mitsotakis is not demanding the return of that too. It is because it isn't part of the political game he is playing with Britain. That's why. Yours, etc., Andrew H.N. Gray, by email. Children asked to share their views. Children's Commissioner Nicola Killeen is urging children and young people across the country to tell her about the issues that matter to them to shape her office's work. The Commissioner celebrated World Children's Day recently with two national online assemblies where children and young people shared their ideas and learned more about their human rights. Their voices will be at the heart of the Commissioner's four-year plan to promote and protect children's rights. At the assemblies, the Commissioner launched a resource pack to support adults, help groups of children and young people take part in shaping her plan. The pack includes videos, activities and presentations to help children consider the six questions the Commissioner is asking. Nicola said, "Our work must be guided, shaped and informed by children and young people. I never forget that they are my boss and, with 1 million children in Scotland, that's a lot of bosses. One of the first things I must do as Commissioner is tell the Scottish Parliament what I'll be working on for the next 4 years and how I'll be doing that work. Part of my job as Commissioner is to involve children and young people in my work, and I'm asking for their help right now in creating my new plan. I want to find out about the issues that matter to them and how my office should work for them." The recent assemblies were a fantastic way to start, and whatever children say, I will be listening. Over the next couple of months, we will be travelling across Scotland to work with children and young people, face to face, paying particular attention to groups whose rights are most at risk. I'm so excited to hear what children in Scotland have to say. The assemblies, one for primary and one for secondary, were held with eSchool, an online platform for teaching and learning. Children explored their rights, found out more about the Commissioner's job, and how they can be involved in helping create her four-year plan. Primary 6 pupil Mirabelle, 10, from Edinburgh, co-hosted the primary assembly. She said, "It was really, really good that we were able to get people involved today, at the assembly with things like the quiz. It was really exciting to host it with Nicola. Rennie, 16, from Blairgowie, Perthshire, co-hosted the secondary assembly. She said, "Hosting the live assembly was nerve-wracking but fun. It was a big conversation about rights, and it was great to see people from all across Scotland telling us what they thought. It was first in a series of opportunities to come together to explore rights online with the Commissioner. Children and young people can also take part in shaping the plan in person, in schools and other settings across Scotland. The Commissioner and her team will be gathering children's views via an online survey and by delivering in-person sessions between now and January to inform the strategic plan for the next 4 years. For more information on the strategic plan engagement process, visit www.cypcs.org.uk/resources/your-rights-hour-plan.
Gaelic is protected under new legislation. Proposal to help the Gaelic and Scots language prosper in the years ahead was set out in legislation last week, aptly as Scotland marks St Andrew's Day. One of the key proposals in the Scottish Language Bill is the creation of new areas of linguistic significance, which would give Gaelic communities a greater say in how the language is supported locally. The bill also provides greater support for Gaelic medium education and strengthens and adjusts the functions of Bordna Gaelic to help it continue to contribute to the promotion of Gaelic. In addition, it provides the first ever legislative protection for the Scots language, strengthening support for it in public and community life. Schools will be supported to introduce Scots into their curriculums, recognising its place as an invaluable part of our culture. The Scottish Government will be required to promote and support Scots language education and to report on its progress. Cabinet Secretary for Education and Skills, Jenny Gilruth, said, "Gaelic and Scots are fundamental parts of Scotland's heritage. The Scottish Government is determined the languages are supported to ensure they are also integral to our future. Learning is at the heart of our plans. By encouraging and supporting learners, we can help more people to engage with the rich history of our languages through song, poetry and literature, recognising the richness and diversity of Scottish society. But importantly, the bill will also focus on providing direct support and resources to communities, ensuring the long-term growth of Gaelic and Scots."
£500 for agriculture's next generation. Anyone who has been involved with agriculture for up to 5 years can now get £500 toward the cost of training from the Scottish Government's Next Generation Fund. Managed by Lantra Scotland, the fund is open to both men and women, including students and those already in full-time or part-time work, regardless of age. Dr. Liz Barron-Majerick, MBE, MICFOR, Lantra Scotland Director, explained, "The need for a skilled and knowledgeable workforce in agriculture has never been greater. Particularly for new entrants, the training can help improve business efficiency on the farm, teach safe use of equipment, and educate people about climate change, adaptation and mitigation, biodiversity and habitat improvement. With up to £500 on offer, the Next Generation Fund opens up training to improve career prospects for people who might otherwise not have the money available. One of Lantra's aims is to support the rural economy by increasing the number and diversity of employees in Scotland's land-based and aquaculture sector, so we're delighted to be managing this fund on behalf of the Scottish Government. Find out more about the Next Generation Fund and see courses on offer at https://www.scotland.lantra.co.uk/next-generation-practical-training-fund. Some are online, while others are available on locations across the country. Land Trust Scotland is also managing funds for women in agriculture and women in forestry. To find out more about these funds and apply, visit https://www.skillshub.scot/badges.
Give Treasures a new loving home. Scottish families are being asked to make room for Christmas by donating their children's unwanted treasures to the British Heart Foundation. The appeal was issued as the charity is dealing with bumper demand for toys, board games and puzzles this festive season. To help encourage donations, the charity has released a series of images where cheeky elves can be seen guiding toys to the nearest BHF shop, including jumping into a doll's ear to offer directions to the nearest BHF shop, dusting off board games, and firing up a helicopter to hoist cuddly toys out of their basket. Demand for second-hand toys has increased, and the BHF ardently needs quality donations to keep shops stocked for Christmas. The BHF is calling on families who might be clearing out the toy boxes and cupboards to make room by donating their unwanted items to another child can enjoy a pre-loved treasure. Whether it's a Barbie that's never made it out of the box, a Lego set your child has outgrown, or a puzzle that they no longer use, the charity is encouraging the public to drop them off at their local BHF shop. Alison Swain Hughes, retail director at the BHF, said, "Christmas is an incredibly expensive time of year, especially for families. BHF shops are a fantastic place to pick up gifts for all the family at a fraction of the price. We're already seeing an increased demand for toys and games ahead of the festive season. So, as you start decluttering to make room for your Christmas in your home, please consider donating unwanted toys, games and puzzles to the BHF for our new families to enjoy. I'll be asking my own boys to fill a box with pre-loved toys and games that they'd want another child to enjoy as much as they did. As well as making another child's Christmas, every item will give a gift that keeps on living by funding the vital research to help the 7.6 million people living with heart and circulatory diseases in the UK. Simply drop your toys off at any of the BHF 680 shops, or you can post them using the BHF's free downloadable label available from its website at www.bhf.org.uk/Christmas.
Some good news for our pensioners. Age Scotland has welcomed news that the state pension will rise by 8.5% next April, and the UK government has honoured its commitment to the triple lock. Scotland's National Charity for Older People said the move will be a welcome boost to the hundreds of thousands of pensioners in Scotland struggling to cope with huge increases in the cost of living. Catherine Crawford, Chief Executive of Age Scotland, said, "This is much needed good news for the many pensioners in Scotland who are being financially squeezed. The state pension increase will see pensioners receive another £900 a year from next April. We hope it will go some way towards helping older people maintain an acceptable standard of living. We are also pleased the government has honoured its triple lock pledge, which guarantees the value of the state pension isn't overtaken by inflation or wage growth."
District News, Churches, Wednesday the 6th of December. Kirkintilloch Church of God at Regent Hall, Regent Street every Wednesday. Our coffee corner is open from noon to 2pm for home baking and coffee. Join our friends and neighbours for a chat over coffee. On Sunday, there will be a Zoom service at 6:30pm. The speaker this week will be Andy Tugwell. A warm invitation to everyone who is able to join us on Zoom. Access details can be obtained by emailing hello@regenthall.org. For up-to-date and further information on our services, visit our website on www.regenthall.org. The angel said to them, the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of David a saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Luke chapter 2 verses 10 and 12. Milton of Campsie. House groups took place last week and were well supported, and thanks to all who supported the Father Song concert. Baby and Toddlers is on Monday morning. Hobbies Club, 2 p.m. Badminton Club, 7:30 p.m. This week, Cafe Connect is open on Tuesday morning. All are welcome to come for a blether and a warm drink. No charge, just a donation. At 7 p.m. we meet for a time to pray in the Eric Liddell. Come when you can, leave when you must. The BB groups meet on Friday at 6:15 p.m. Meet for worship on Sunday, December the 10th, second Sunday in Advent, at 11 a.m. We are delighted that Julie, our minister, is now well enough to lead worship, but still very much on a phased return. For the montage, please send a photo of yourself with the word Gloria. Also, on December the 10th, Pastoral Care Christmas Party is at 2:30 p.m. with entertainment from the Kosyth Close Harmony Group. On Monday, December 11th, Stories Round the Christmas Tree with Santa at 3:15 p.m. including games, juice and fun. On Friday, December the 15th, Youth Christmas Celebration, 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. for families, youth organisations, etc. On Sunday, December the 17th, visit to care homes. Meet outside Kintyre Care Home at 2:20 p.m. Then, at 5 p.m, when Christmas hearts, a short reflective service followed by tea and coffee. Thanks to everyone who donated to the food bank, 65.4 kilos plus £270, and to all who bought Asda or Farm Food gift cards to our gift service. Why not do a reverse Advent? Each day during Advent, put a food bag item into a box. On Christmas Day, you'll have 24 items ready to take to the food bank. December's charity of the month is CHAS. Please give generously. Thanks to all who participated in Amnesty International's Right for Rights, by sending letters and cards to people all over the world who are being treated unjustly. Home Church Scotland. For I, the Lord God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. Sunday, December the 10th, 9:30 a.m, communion, 10 a.m, prayer meeting followed by refreshments, 11 to 12:30 p.m, worship service, children's church and creche, followed by refreshments. A warm welcome awaits you. Home Church Carmyle, 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Minibus leaves Home Church at 5:45 p.m. for the evening service. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Bible studies and discussion groups in person and on Zoom. Wednesdays, mothers and babies, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Home groups, 7:15 p.m. at Kirkintilloch in Carmyle. Fridays, craft and coffee, 10 a.m. to noon, open to the community. Youth fellowship, 7:30 to 9 p.m. Home radio available every day. See Facebook, Instagram and Home Church website. Colston Well Park Church. As we prepare for Christmas, why not pop along to Colston Well Park Church and join us for the festive season? The service is at 11 a.m. and will be led by Reverend Malcolm Cuthbertson. Join us for tea or coffee after the service. On Monday, the Art Club is at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and a warm welcome to anyone to join us. Call on 07709 584 680 for details. On Wednesday, the Colston Tea Break, our community drop-in, is on at 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Feel free to join us for good food and good company, and it's free. The food bank continues its essential work within the community, open every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. and a sincere thanks to all who assist in this worthwhile work. St Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday, December the 10th is at 11 a.m. led by the Reverend Dr. Ruth Morrison. There will be age-related activities for our young people in the halls during the service. Our annual gift service will also take place. Gifts of money and gifts for all ages will be welcome. After the service, the annual Advent lunch will take place. on December the 6th, the Wednesday Welcome, beginning at 10 a.m. Tea and coffee and home baking. A short service at 11:30 a.m. The monthly open doors will be at 10 a.m. and music will be provided by Sally McClellan and John Thompson at 12:15 p.m. Tea and coffee will be available to, and you are welcome to bring your lunch. After this, we welcome the choir from Learsland Primary School, who perform from 12:45 p.m. During the afternoon, pupils from Learsland will remain for craft activities. Cadder Parish Church. Our Sunday morning service is led by Reverend John McGregor and Probationer Minister Chris Gordon and Javi Jose Usendo Malo, MMUS. Food bank donations welcome. Early Fellowship meets in person at the South Hall Chapel at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday, and also on Zoom. Our coffee shop is open Tuesday to Thursday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and Friday, 10 till noon. The Guild Christmas lunch is on Thursday, December the 7th from 12:15 p.m. for 12:30 p.m. in the South Halls. Entertainment by the pupils of the Academy, Glasgow North Guild Together Carol Service is in Lindsay Union Church on Thursday, December the 7th at 7 p.m. Coffee shop festive afternoon teas. Don't miss out on your mince pies and Christmas cake and a festive get-together. Seats still available for the teas on Wednesday, December the 13th and Thursday, December the 14th. Reserve your place at the coffee shop or phone Fraser McKenzie on 07909 906573 to reserve your seat. Tickets £14.50 each. Labyrinth, Chapel in the South Hall. Chris, our Probationer Minister, is running an Advent Labyrinth prayer station from Tuesday, December the 5th to Thursday, December the 7th from 10:30 to 2 p.m. and 10 a.m. to noon on Friday, December the 8th. Make time to visit and reflect on how God moves in our lives. Film night on Friday, December the 8th, 7 p.m. for 7:30 p.m. in Cadder North Hall. The film is Christmas with Tucker and tickets are available from are £5 for members of the fellowship group. Gift service on Sunday, December the 10th. This year we're supporting two charities, Women's Aid with Pyjamas for their children and Daisy Chain with Sensory Toys for their children. Janet Johnson has details of both types of donations. 92nd Glasgow Company, the Girls Brigade, Tuesdays, Explorers, P1 to P3, 6:15 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Juniors, P4 to P7, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Brigaders, S1 to S6, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. 212th Boys Brigade, Anchor Boys, P1 to 3, Monday 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Junior Section, P4 to 6, Monday 7:15 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Company/Senior Section, P7 to S6, Friday 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Springfield, Cambridge. Morning worship on Sunday, December the 10th, conducted by Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by our assistant minister, Mrs. Julie Harty, in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. The Sunday School will meet in room 2. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made on the offering plates. Morning worship is also being live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk, and the Facebook page. There will be a vestry hour on Wednesday, December the 6th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. There will be a short weekly service on Wednesday, December the 6th from 11:10 to 11:30. On Sundays, December 10th and 17th, the fundraising group will be offering tickets at the donation price of £2 for their festive hamper, the City of Glasgow Wind Orchestra annual Christmas concert in the sanctuary. It's on Friday, December the 8th at 7:30. Tickets at the door, £10/£6. On Sunday, December the 10th, jars of grace, or donations, will be collected for our annual appeal for UNICEF. Also, Tesco gift cards can be donated to our annual Gift Sunday.
These will be passed to the local food bank. Also Sunday, December at 6 p.m, Eastern Bartonshire School Strings Orchestra return for their annual concert. Free entry, donations welcome. Kenmure Parish Church. Our Assistant Minister, Reverend Kay Gardiner, will lead our worship at 11 a.m. this Sunday, which marks the second Sunday in Advent. Our gift service will be Sunday, December the 17th, and all gifts received will be going to the Glasgow City Mission. This year, they're appealing for men's underwear, shaving foam, deodorant, razors, chocolate biscuits and chocolate. You're welcome to join us both in the church and on our YouTube channel. The service on YouTube can be watched live as it is streamed or later at a time that suits you. You can find our channel by simply searching for Kenmure Bishop Briggs on YouTube. Teas and coffees and the time of fellowship follows the end of the online service. Details of all of our groups that are currently running may be found on our website, kenmure-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kenmure Parish Church. That's Kenmure, K-E-N-M-U-R-E. If you would like to join our WhatsApp group or receive the Bible studies from ABC, then email us at kenmurechurch@icloud.com. Lenzie Union Parish Church. Christmas services and events at Lenzie Union Parish Church, December the 9th. Christmas Messy Church, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, December the 10th, we will be celebrating communion at 11 a.m. led by Reverend Dan Carmichael. Wednesday, December the 13th, Christmas experience, performances at 6:30 p.m., 7 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Saturday, December the 16th, Bethlehem experience, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Sunday, December the 17th at 11 a.m, Christmas Nativity Service. Sunday, December the 17th at 4 p.m, Lessons and Carols by Candlelight. Sunday, December the 24th, Christmas Eve, 11 a.m, Christmas Service, 6:30 p.m, Christmas Eve Family Service with Peace Light, 11:30 p.m, Joint Watch Night Service at Lindsay Old. Monday, December the 25th, Christmas Day, 11 a.m, Joint Service at Lindsay Union. Lindsay Old Parish Church. Sunday worship begins in the church at 11 a.m. A creche is available. The Quilt and Craft Group meet every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to noon, in the session room. Ideal for beginners or those with more experience. Scottish Country Dancing every Thursday, 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. in the church hall. Come along for fun, fitness and friendship. You will be made very welcome. Time Out Carol Party is on Monday, December the 11th at 7:30 p.m. in the church hall. Christmas carols, entertainment and refreshments, proceeds to Marie Curie, tickets £5, all welcome. Come and Sing, the Dementia Friendly Singing Group, meets in the church hall, 1:15 to 2:45 p.m. on Tuesday, December the 12th. District News General, 6th of December 2023. Holyrood View. SNP continues to support those in need. By Rona Mackay, MSP. Christmas is almost upon us, and the Westminster inflicted cost of living crisis shows no sign of abating. Every penny counts for struggling families in my constituency as the festivities draw near. The Scottish Government is doing everything possible to support households in Strathkelvin and Bearsden and across the whole of Scotland. New analysis has shown that under the SNP, Scotland has the lowest levels of council tax in the UK. For 2023-24, the average household in Scotland will pay £1,301.89 in council tax, significantly less than the £1,854.05 in Wales and £1,579.32 in England. In real terms, this is more than £100 less per year than when the SNP came to government in 2007.
The Scottish Government's £25 per week Scottish Child Payment is also providing a lifeline for vulnerable local families. While Westminster Economic Chaos continues to harm Scotland's interest, the SNP government is taking direct action, such as freezing council tax, to support our constituents through the cost of living crisis. Meanwhile, the local community, as ever, is rallying round to those in need of toy appeals, fundraising events and, of course, the wonderful volunteers at Eastern Bartonshire Food Bank packing Christmas donations for families in need. Our social care and NHS staff continue to excel, and I was delighted to put forward a motion at the Scottish Parliament congratulating Kirkintilloch nurse Dougie Bell for his success at the Scottish Health Awards 2023, winning the Innovation Award as part of the Eastern Bartonshire Health and Social Care Partnership, HSPC. Dougie's practitioner-led project will improve the lives of older people needing a medication administrated at home. It's also great news that our fantastic business community in Kirkintilloch have voted to work collectively to enhance the town centre, with more than 81% of voting in favour in creating a business improvement district, which will ensure the area flourishes and thrives. My office will be closed over the Christmas and New Year period, with urgent emails to my address rona.mackay.msp@parliament.scot. That's rona.mackay.msp@parliament.scot. We'll always be picked up. My very best wishes to everyone for a happy and peaceful Christmas. Antiquities Meeting. Next Antiquities Meeting will be on Thursday, December the 7th at 7:30 PM in the Park Centre, 45 Kerr Street, Kirkintilloch, with a talk by Al Fleming and Linda McIntosh on the 1941 German air crash at Lennoxtown. Visitors welcome. Tea and coffee will be served afterwards. Horticultural Society. At our last meeting in November, three of our members gave very interesting, illustrated talks about gardens they had visited. First to speak, Wendy Bryson, introduced us to Park Botanique der Heute, which she and her husband had visited earlier this year. We were treated to beautiful vistas and close-up of specimen plants throughout this impressive 62-acre botanical garden, located in Upper Brittany, near Fougères, France. The garden was originally started in 1847, but, after years of neglect, was restored and added in 1995. There are many themed gardens within the whole estate, one of the highlights being the Japanese garden. Next, closer to home, Paul Malcolm talked about Gaelston Garden, a delightful 200-year-old garden on the banks of the River Clyde near Cardross. This 10-acre garden is owned by the National Trust, and Paul had made several visits at different times of the year, so was able to show us the best of colour throughout the seasons. Particularly noteworthy is the walled garden at the centre, of which is a mature Wellingtonia tree. There are herbaceous borders full of colour in the summer months, and a potting shed overlooking the barn is also one of the many attractions. Our last speaker, Andy Lothian, had visited Kew Gardens, the internationally important botanical research and educational institution, which covers an impressive 300-acre site. Andy had visited as one of the hottest days of the year and admitted he hadn't been able to cover as much ground as he maybe would have liked and had not seen so much colour as expected. However, he did show us some impressive plants and in particular had enjoyed the orchid collections under glass. Our next meeting will take place in Enterprise House on Thursday, December the 14th from 7:30 PM to 9:30 PM. When we will have a social evening with mince pies and mulled wine, a Christmas quiz and Secret Santa. Potential new members will be made welcome on the night, or for more details about the society, please contact Paul Malcolm on 0141 578 1520 or visit our website www.kirkintillochhorte.org.uk. Community Carol Singing. Campsie Parish and St Machin's Churches in Lennoxtown are holding a community carol singing event on Saturday, December the 16th at 3pm in St Machan's car park, to which everyone is invited. Come along, join the singing, and enjoy hot chocolate.
Public notices. Planning notices. Eastern Bartonshire Council public notices. Civic Government brackets Scotland Act 1982. Application for renewal of second-hand dealer licence. The undernoted has applied for the renewal of a second-hand dealer licence in terms of the above Act. Name and address of applicant. William Ross Hunter, 128 Waverley Crescent, Kirkintilloch, G66 2DA. Day-to-day manager, William Ross Hunter, 128 Waverley Crescent, Kirkintilloch, G66 2DA. Premises, a sealer, that's A-C-C-E-L-E-R, 8, Auto Services, Pitt Road, Waterside, Kirkintilloch, G66 3ND. Hours of opening, Monday to Saturday, 9am until 5:30pm. Goods, part worn tyres. Any objections or representations in terms of paragraph 3 brackets 1 of Schedule 1 of the Act should be logged with the undernoted no later than 28 days from the publication date of the newspaper in which this advertisement appears. Deputy Chief Executive, Eastern Bartonshire Council, Broomhill Industrial Estate, Kilsyth Road, Kirkintilloch, G66 1TF. Members' surgeries. Councillors' arrangements for interviewing residents. Ward 7, Kirkintilloch East and North and Twecker, Councillor Susan Murray. 9th of December 2023, Hillhead Community Centre, 9:30am until 11am. 9th of December 2023, Twecker Healthy Living Centre and Enterprise Centre, 11:30am until 1pm. Between surgeries, councillors can be contacted at the Members Support Unit on 0300 123 4510. That phone number again for the Members Support Unit is 0300 123 4510. Town and Country Planning Development Management Procedure Scotland Regulations 2013 Regulation 20 brackets 2 North Lanarkshire Council. This application with the associated plans and documents can be inspected online using simple search at www.eplanning.northlanarkshire.gov.uk/online-applications or at the local office below. Anyone wishing to make a comment can do so online or in writing within 14 days of this notice. Application number 23/01204/FUL. That application number again is 23/01204/FUL. Site location: 7 Gart Ferry Road, Gart Ferry Road, Creston, North Lanarkshire. Proposed development: extension to office building. Planning and Place Manager, Civic Centre, Windmill Hill Street, Motherwell, ML1 1AD. northlanarkshire.gov.uk. North Lanarkshire Council, Civic Government, brackets, Scotland Act 1982, Management Rules 2023. North Lanarkshire Council. North Lanarkshire Council hereby give notice that the above rules made under Section 112 of the Civic Government, brackets, Scotland Act 1982, to regulate the use of and the conduct of persons while on or in any land or premises owned, occupied or managed by North Lanarkshire Council, or is otherwise under their control, and to which the public have access whether on pavement or not have been approved. The rules covering active and creative communities, cemeteries and burial grounds, green space and country parks, MOT centres, public convenience, recycling centres, town and community hubs, and community facilities may be viewed at www.northlanarkshire.gov.uk/management-rules, and paper copies can be provided upon request at these facilities. northlanarkshire.gov.uk. Club on National Award Shortlist. An article written by Brian Newell and read by me, Corey. An East Dunbartonshire club has been nominated for an award at the Scottish Sports Awards 2023. Hosted by Sports Scotland and Team Scotland, the awards will take place tomorrow, Thursday, celebrating the success of individuals, schools, clubs and teams across the whole of Scottish sport. FC United Powerchair Football Club, which plays in Bishopbriggs, has been nominated alongside Active Life Club, Glasgow, and Inverness Tennis and Squash Club, Highlands, for Scottish Club of the Year 2023. A spokesperson for Sports Scotland said, "In just 11 months, FC United Powerchair Football Club has established itself in the National Premiership, Scotland's top wheelchair league. This has provided a new sports club that has not only got more wheelchair users playing football, but which also creates a virtual support network to help the players' mental well-being. The strong principles of the club are rooted in mental well-being and a positive community family feeling. The club's ethos is that the sky is the limit for all players, with the coaches providing bespoke training on the development of each player in their technical abilities of the game, while also providing much-needed welfare support when needed. Almost a year on, the club is now a vital lifeline for many of the players. This is further recognition for the club after head coach and co-founder Kieran Burns recently received the Champion for Change Award at the inaugural Variety Club Disability Sports Awards. He said, "When you're in a wheelchair, you can have a lot of things going on in your life, and it can have a big impact on your mental health. Watching the growth of everybody in the team this year has been incredible, and seeing how the players' lives have changed and how happy they feel to be part of this community, it means so much to me." That article was written by Brian Jewell and read by me, Corey. WRCED continues to have adventures. An article written by Lorna Thompson and read by me, Corey. Spooky walks were popular with Walk, Run, Cycle East Dunbartonshire, WRCED, members, young and old alike, during October. With a child-friendly spooky walk on Christine's Way, passing our community bench for a photo opportunity, and attendees dressing up to trick for their goodies. Members have also not been letting the dark night stop them from getting out on adventures. Donning head torch and wrapping up, they have visited Murdoch Park, Palace Rig and Dumbreck Marsh, to name a few, on their weekly evening walks. Strength and Balance sessions in partnership with Paths for All are now taking place every Thursday in Bishopriggs Woodhill Church at 1:30 p.m, featuring gentle exercise and a cuppa afterwards. Details can be found on the events tab of the Walk, Run, Cycle Eastern Bartonshire Facebook group, or alternatively, email wrced2020@gmail.com for more information. Walk, Run, Cycle Eastern Bartonshire are very proud to be involved with Elena Harris and Eastern Bartonshire with their Remembering Together community COVID memorials. The Eastern Bartonshire project will take the form of 12 abers in different towns across the area. Each one will include metal engraved signature that explains the project, with a QR code that links to a sound piece with stories from people's pandemic experiences and music from local musicians. It will also include a map that can lead people on a short walk around the area, which WRCED are collaborating on. We will keep you updated as the project progresses. Our C25K running team have been amazing and completed their 5K challenge with a graduating run at Park Run on November 25th. Well done, team. A new C25K will be set up in the new year. Weekend adventures have included St. Fillan's Viewpoint Calendar, Primrose Hill, Bannockburn. Meanwhile, 20 of us have kicked off from Dryman on another long trail route, the Rob Roy Way, which is 79 miles from Dryman to Pitlochry, and will be undertaken a section at a time each month. As always, our events are on our Facebook page, Walk, Run, Cycle, Eastern Bartonshire, or email wrced2020@gmail.com. We have had great success with our calendar sales this year, costing £8 each, with all profits made going back into the group. These can be bought by contacting the email address, or alternatively picked up at Create Ed on Main Street, Kirkintilloch. Santa Dash in aid of Eastern Bartonshire Food Bank is happening again this year, taking place this Saturday, December 9th, from Kirkintilloch Marina at 10:30 a.m. You can choose to dash or saunter along Christine's Way towards Boghead Wood, where Santa will hand out a sweet treat for the attendees. Further details can be found on the Facebook page or email wrced2020@gmail.com. That article was written by Lorna Thompson and read by me, Corey. City star undergoes surgery on Achilles. This article is unattributed, but it's being read by me, Corey. Glasgow City striker Brennan Lavera underwent surgery on her Achilles last week, after being injured against Rangers last month. The American had enjoyed a bright start to life in Springburn, scoring 6 goals in 10 SWPL1 outings. Lavera wrote on X, "Gutted to have torn my Achilles. Not how I wanted or imaged my first season at City going. But nevertheless, it is what it is. It sucks a whole lot, but we keep moving forward, and I'm feeling thankful for the people who have taken care of me. Now we focus on healing and getting back on the pitch as soon as possible." Meanwhile, fellow striker Eofy Colville also underwent surgery at the start of the month on her ankle. City will be back in action on Sunday as they travel to Hibernian. There were few matches played in the WOS League at the weekend due to the weather. The only local side who took to the pitch was Rossvale, but went down 5-1 at home to Thorn Athletic in the 4th Division. Rossvale and Ashfield are idle, but other sides look to return, starting with 1st Division leaders Petershill at home to Kilburnie Ladeside tonight, Wednesday. West Park United look to reach the final of the Strathclyde Demolition Cup at home to Neilston. Kirkintilloch Rob Roy will host Vale of Clyde in the third round of the WOS Cup, while Glasgow Perthshire welcome Cumbernauld United in the second round. Caledonian Locomotives are away to Kilsyth Rangers in the second division. That article was unattributed, but it was read by me, Corey. Tigers named Club of the Year after title win. An article written by Phil Lanning and read by me, Corey. Team boss Cammy Brown admits he was hugely proud as Glasgow Tigers was named Club of the Year by World Speedway Riders Association. The Tigers were given the gong after taking the championship title for the first time in 12 years. It was a double on the night as club captain Chris Hannes was named Rider of the Year in British Speedway. Brown said it's obviously a huge accolade for the club and it feels very much deserved. We are hugely proud to get such an award. This is for the Fascina family owners and the fans. The investment of time and money into the club has been phenomenal over the past 8 years. It's taken a great deal of blood, sweat and tears to get to this level, from where the club was before they took over. I'm delighted for everyone involved. It was a special moment to win the league, and now we must build on that. It was no surprise to me that Chris Harris won Rider of the Year. He is an outstanding professional. There's no doubt he was the inspiration for our league title success. To drop just 1 point over two legs in a grand final is just sensational. Meanwhile, championship title winning hero Lee Coplin was confirmed as the first rider signing for the 2024 season. The announcement took place at the Glasgow Tigers supporters group winter event on Friday. The 39-year-old said, "It has been an amazing year. It was a dream to join Glasgow in the first place, but then to win the league was unbelievable. I think the spirit of the clubs with fans and owners combined really made a huge difference. My journey back to my best has only just started. I want to keep progressing and I know that 2024 can be another amazing year. Defending a title is always difficult, but I believe in this club there's such a huge winning mentality to do it again. Once you've tasted that success, you want that feeling again and again. It will be tough, but we are bang up for it." That article was written by Phil Lanning and read by me, Corey.
That concludes this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at TuneReview and tell your friends about our service.